It's been about 3 years since we visited this parable in the worship services on Sunday morning. We're going to look at that classic parable Jesus shared, known lovingly to all of us as the parable of the prodigal son. And it's one of those beautiful parables that really talks about what it really means to be right with God. We're going to talk this morning for just a moment about when can you come home. When can you come home? Understanding that home is the place where God wants us to be. It's a picture of where God has designed us to be and what He wants us to be. And as I was preparing for the message this morning, in my heart I've asked the Lord, Lord, if there's anybody in the service this morning that is lost and doesn't know the Lord, that this would be the day that they would make an eternal decision to say yes to Christ and be wonderfully saved. And I don't know if a passage more appropriate to share than this one in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. It's been called the greatest short story or parable in the world. Jesus shared a parable about 100 sheep, and the shepherd had one that went astray and left the 99 and went out and searched for one. There was a person who had a house that they lost a silver coin, had 10 of them and lost one, and they turned the house upside down looking for that silver coin. And then, of course, there's what we have come to learn to know as the parable of the prodigal son. And Louisa Tarkington wrote a little poem a long time ago, and it goes like this. I wish there was a land of beginning again, where all our mistakes and our heartache and grief could be dropped like a shabby old coat at the door and never put on again. I wish there was a land of beginning again. This passage really is a passage that talks about what it means to really be thoroughly and personally and intimately related to God in the experience of the new birth, and to be saved and to be a child of God. It's a story of what it means to live in the center of God's will. It's also a story of how far away some people find themselves because of decisions they make in life, and such was the case of this younger son who took the journey into a far country. And so let's read the passage beginning in verse 11 that Jesus was sharing. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he, the citizen, sent him, the son, into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And as he arose, he came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. The father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He is lost and is found. And they began to be merry. In one sense or another, all of us can find something to identify with in this wonderful parable, because either you're saved or you need to be saved. And if you've been saved, you've been in that far country. You know what it's like to not know the Lord. Thank God you've been saved by the grace of God, and we'll give Him praise for that. And maybe you're here this morning and you've never had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus. You've never been born from above, as Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Maybe your decisions in life have carried you further and further away from what it means to be thoroughly right with God. Or maybe there's somebody here who's saved, knows the Lord, and knows that you've been genuinely born from above, And because of decisions you've made in life or directions you've taken in life, maybe your journey's taken you away from home, away from what it means to be really thoroughly right with the Lord. I put myself a note in my notes. This message is for all of us. Whether your journey away from the Father has been a slow leak or a blowout, you can come home when several things take place. Number one, you can come home when you realize where you are. This morning, just for a moment, let's get as honest as we know how to be. Where do we stand in our walk with the Lord? Where do we stand in our relationship with the lovely Lord Jesus? And I pray you can answer that and say, thank God, Pastor, I know that I'm a child of God, and I know that I'm saved, and if I died today, I'd have a home in heaven. But see, this journey this young man takes, the journey home, this answers the question, when can you come home? You can come home when you realize, first of all, where you are. So just for the next few moments, let's just be as honest as we know how to be. In verse 13, the Bible says, Jesus said, this young man took his journey into a far country. In verse 17, he found out the far country wasn't as alluring, wasn't as profitable, wasn't as enjoyable as he thought it would be. And he came to himself, like he was awakened out of a slumber. The younger son never intended to go that far, however long he was gone, or stay that long, but there he was in the far country. And I just wonder if some of us may not be living in a far country this morning that's not the center of God's will. I jotted down some far countries that some of us might find ourselves in. Far country of broken hearts. Sometimes when tragedy strikes and heartache comes, we can find ourselves bitter and angry with God and allow that to create some distance between us and the Lord that was never intended to take place. Some are living in the land of shattered dreams. You never really thought you'd be here in this place. I know that I was talking to one of our oldest son some time ago, and we were looking back upon the events of life. And he had gone through some difficult times, and thanked the Lord, he's serving Jesus now, loving Jesus, living for Jesus now. But for a while, he had journeyed to a far country. His heart grew cold, and he was wounded in life. He was struggling because he lived in the land of shattered dreams. He had a marriage that had gone south, a business that had gone bankrupt, and health that had failed him. And the devil will use every circumstance of life he can to try to steal your joy, steal your victory, steal your peace. But we're talking about to come home, you got to realize where you are. Some of us are living in the land of empty gain, or what I've chosen to call sterile success. You can be as wealthy as you've ever hoped to be and still not be happy. You can be as successful in this world's endeavors as you plan to be and still not be fulfilled. There's a far country of substitutionary pleasures that are not intended to take God's place, but sometimes they do. There's this far country of empty gain, far country of bitter bondage. Bondage. We live in the land of the free and the home of the brave, but yet there's some people that are in bondage to alcohol and bondage to drugs and bondage to pornography and bondage to a number of things. It's a tough place to live in the far country. But yet Jesus told this story because so many people are living in that far country. Also, there's the foreign country. We're talking about realizing where you are of barren religion. You see, a lot of folks go to church and sit in the pew and have a good time, and nothing wrong with that, but they lack a personal encounter with the lovely Lord Jesus. They lack that whatever happens in our hearts when we rejoice. Sometimes we're singing a hymn and my heart just jumps for joy because that the hymn speaks of my heart. Speaks what God's done in my life and in your life. Some are living in the land of barren religion. Some are living in the land of hypocrisy. Some are living in the land of the lost. Far from the Lord. Maybe religious and lost. Maybe moral and lost. Maybe respectable and lost. But if you've never been saved, you're living in a far country. When can you come home? You can come home when you realize where you are. Secondly, we can come home this morning when you realize when you admit, excuse me, what you have found. Good news, you can come home. You don't have to stay in a far country. When you admit what you found, look at verse 13. There in the far country, I'm sure is a land of lights and glitz and glamour that appealed to him. It wasn't all that he'd hoped that it would be. But you can come home when you admit what you found. There he wasted his substance. The devil's always not only a liar, but he's a thief. He wants to steal from you everything that's good and profitable and blessed him. In verse 14, Jesus said, when he, the young man, had spent all, there arose a mighty famine, and he began to be in want. When can you come home to be thoroughly right with God? When you admit what you found. His dreams crashed all around him. He was marked by emptiness. In verse 14, he said he had spent all. He was spiritually bankrupt. In verse 17, he said, talks about his despair. He said, I perish with hunger. I'm at the verge of death. I don't know where I'm going to get my next meal. I'm perishing. The day laborers have more than me. He began to compare his life to the most unworthy people that he knew. He said, even the day laborers have more than I have. His life was marked by shame and disgrace. He's fitted. For a young Jewish boy, there was no position that could have been more shameful than the position of feeding hogs. Pigs were unclean, and to feed hogs was an unclean job. But that's where the far country had taken him. You can come home when you admit what you found. In the far country, he found loneliness. No man gave unto him. He was by himself. I'm so glad I can sing that song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Folks, what it really means to be right with the Lord is to have a friend that's sweeter than a brother. And his name is Jesus. You can come home when you admit what you found. And he found heartache. He said, I'm not worthy of the servants in my father's house have it better than me. I'm pathetic. I'm a failure. And he also talked about is he lived in a land of disappointment because he never planned to go there. Somebody wrote, I believe it was R.G. Lee wrote this, the first time I ever heard anybody say it, sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin will teach you more than you want to know and cost you more than you want to pay. But there's good news. You can come home and you admit what you found in the far country. You can come home also, number three, when you acknowledge how you got there. We have a tendency to blame people or blame other things for what happens in our lives. The truth is, we may have had a role in wherever we find ourselves living right now spiritually. You can come home when you acknowledge how you got there. Verse 18, the young man said, I'm going to go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned. I've sinned, and that was the beginning of his journey home. He began to realize things weren't right, and the problem was not with other people, but with the rebellion in his own heart. He had defied authority and desired sinful pleasure. He had disregarded the Father's love for him and planned for his life, and gave little attention to spiritual matters. Saying all that means that what am I trying to share with you? You can come home and you admit what you found. You can come home and you acknowledge how you got there. I made myself a note here. Well, there's good news. You can come home and you acknowledge how you got there. You can come home when you turn your life and heart over to the Lord Jesus. But this may be my favorite point of all. And before, you can come home when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Wouldn't it be wonderful to enjoy the richest blessings of the Lord, to really be honest with the Lord? In verse 18, I'm going to arise and go to my father. He was sick and tired of being sick and tired. He knew he's going home and he wanted things to be as right as they could possibly be made right. And the devil's going to whisper on your shoulder, by the way, no matter how long you've been saved, the truth is the old tempter's always going to try to seduce you, to sidetrack you, to slander you, to steal from you. The devil may say, as you make your plans to come home to the Father, you've been gone too long. You know, since you're trying to go home, you've been gone too long. I remember when Jamie had gone through a season in his life when so many things had gone wrong, and I've shared these with you before. He'd gone through a divorce. He'd gone through bankruptcy in his business. He'd gone through a battle with cancer. And all those things had defeated him and discouraged him. And he called me one day and from Texas. This is many, many years ago. And he said, "Dad, I just want to ask you a question. Can I come home?" And he was weeping and he was broken. And he was just, "Daddy, I've reached the end of my journey. I don't know how I'm going to face the things of life." But the devil will say you can't go home because you've been gone too long. I've got good news for you. The other end of that story is I remember the day you pulled up in our driveway. And he'd come from either the airport or I believe it was the airport. And he'd come back to where we were living. And he got out of the car and came and ran to me and threw his arms around my neck and began to cry. We just embraced each other and cried, and he came home. I want to tell you that today, he's got a wonderful marriage. He's got a profitable job. And he's got a great relationship with the Lord. In fact, he's preaching at his church for the second time in a couple of weeks. And he's as much in love with Jesus as I've ever seen him. And if he were standing here, he would tell you that you can come home when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. I sometimes find myself going down memory lane as I'm getting ready to preach. I'll go through some sermon outlines, and I found a sermon outline. I found a note where I'd preached in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Jamie had gone with me that Sunday to preach, and it was motorcycle bike Sunday. The church had invited all the motorcycle clubs all around the area of Tuscaloosa to join us for church. And Jamie was a motorcyclist and had a good testimony for that crowd. So that morning of the service in Tuscaloosa, Jamie shared his testimony and he shared how the Lord had brought him back home after a time of wandering years earlier. And right before Jamie finished, before the sermon was supposed to start, Jamie's testimony had ended. And we were just there. There was an interlude of just a few seconds. And before I could get to the platform, a biker stood up in the back and said, "Stop!" "Sorry, Bobby." I scared him. He said, "Stop." He said, "I've got to get saved." You see, Jamie's testimony about what it means to come home rung a bell in that biker's heart. And he gave his heart and life to Jesus. And folks, we had church that day. Amen. We had church. You can come home when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. The devil may reach over and whisper in your ear, "You've gone too far. God doesn't love you anymore. God doesn't care. Nothing could be further than the truth." You can't make God stop loving you. You can't make God, you can't go so far that God's forgotten about you and is no longer concerned about you. When you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, you can come home. "I will arise and go to my Father." The devil will whisper in your ear, "You've done too much. You've crossed the line. You can't change what's happened." Well, you can't change what's happened, but you don't need to forget the Lord's never stopped loving you. And nothing, by the way, nothing you have ever done has caused God not to love you. You've done too much. The Father doesn't want you anymore, doesn't love you anymore, doesn't care for you anymore. Not true. And after all the other excuses that fail, the devil will tell you, "Well, tell the Lord not today. Think about it a little bit longer." But the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is accepted time. So the young man got up in Luke 15, began his journey home. Don't you know, in his mind he was thinking, "I wonder how my dad's going to respond. I wonder how he's going to receive me." But the father saw him coming and ran to him and threw his arms around him and embraced him and welcomed him home. And the prodigal son probably never imagined how good it would be to receive the welcome home of his father. It means it's a place at home. Home is a picture of God's forgiveness. Home is a picture of God's fellowship. Home is a picture of God's freedom to the believer. Home is a picture of God's fullness in Christ. Home is a picture of family. There's good news when you've wandered far away from the house, from the relationship with the Lord. You can come home and you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. You can come home today. Today can be the first day of the rest of your life. Every once in a while, the Lord will just speak to my heart. Don't hear an audible voice, but speaks to my spirit. And I think about, Lord, I may never know who's in the service that needs to make a decision for Jesus. Who needs to make a journey home? Maybe your journey away from the Father has not been as pronounced, as graphic as this young man, but you know things aren't right. Today's a good day to make things right. If you're saved and have drifted from the Father, it's a good day to come home and just respond just like you are. And say, Lord, I've been saved, but I hadn't lived like I've been saved. And served you like I ought to serve you. I want to start over again. I'd like to come home to begin the journey over. Or maybe you've never been saved. You never thought that the Lord would prick your heart and speak to your heart and draw you to Himself. But you're feeling that sense of drawing by the Holy Spirit. When we stand and sing a hymn of invitation in just a few moments, let me encourage you to come and just come down the aisle and just simply say, Brother Jackie, today I want to give my heart and life to Jesus. Today I want to be saved. You can call upon the name of the Lord. We'll get in the altar and you can pray. You can surrender your heart and life to the Lord right where you are in this place, in this altar, this morning. When can you come home? You can come home when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. And there's no place as sweet as home. And God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow together.